Morning to you this morning.
Morning.
Grateful to be in the Lord's house again.
Amen.
And appreciate what I felt thus far in the meeting, and the Lord has been so kind to us, and
yes,
opportunity to be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach.
Yes.
What the Lord's laid on my heart, I want to be faithful to do that this morning again.
Yes.
As God has helped us and given us some direction, and look here in the book of Psalm, chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, and I also want to look at a verse of scripture in the book of Ephesians.
Yes.
Ephesians 3 and Psalm 40. And what a privilege it is here. Let's look here at Psalm 40, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture, but a wonderful truth that the Lord's been burning in my heart, and I'm grateful when the Lord's so kind to do that. He says here, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit,
yes,
and out of the miry clay.
Amen.
And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth.
Yes.
Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord.
Right.
Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works,
yes,
which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
That's right.
Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire." Catch that now.
Amen.
"Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire.
Yes.
Mine ears hath Thou opened." Thank God for that.
Yes.
"Burnt offering and sin offering hast Thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do Thy will, O my God.
Yes.
Yea, Thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not Thou Thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let Thy loving kindness and Thy truth continually preserve me.
Yes.
For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, saying unto me, Ah, ah. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God."
Yes.
Let's look over here in Ephesians chapter number 3. I'll begin reading here in verse number 7. "Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me," Paul says, "who am less than the least of all saints, this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes.
Everybody's on the same level.
Amen.
That we're able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ.
Right.
With passeth knowledge, ye may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yes.
Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Yes.
Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Yes.
I've read to you in these two passages of Scripture a cry from the psalmist's heart out of a pit, out of despair.
Amen.
And then the rejoicing that he's got, knowing that God's got a plan for his life.
Yes.
And then we see over here in the book of Ephesians as Paul recites these wonderful truths into their ears, knowing that it's his duty as a minister to help each believer get to the place where they're in the fullness of God.
Amen.
And knowing that fullness that they can be led into will affect the world.
Yes.
So I want to look here on a simple thought this morning on lifestyle worship. Let's bow for prayer. Amen. Father in heaven, I'm grateful, Lord, it is to be able to bow one more time.
Yes.
Thanking you for the good grace you've given thus far in the meeting, Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
Thank you for the nudge in my heart this morning to go this way. Lord, you know my inability, Lord, today. I confess it before you openly, God. Thank you for each one you've allowed to be here this morning, Lord. You know they'll be here. Bless, I pray, now the service. Help your preacher, I pray, Lord. Get glory to yourself, I pray. Would you please, Lord, loose my mind, my heart, I pray. Help us to look into you now as often finish of our faith. In Jesus' name, the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Lifestyle worship.
Yes.
I'm interested in that particular phrase. And the fact that we come to the house of God, it is a place where the body, the local body of Christ, meets together in a building, could be a tent, could be under some brush arbor somewhere, but the local body of believers come together in communion and fellowship with one another, in communion and fellowship with Christ, to worship God. Hear from heaven, to be edified by the pastor, the local shepherd, the body of believers, hear the preaching of the Word of God, and to continue being edified in the house of God, also can receive reproof and correction. Go forth into the world and affect this world in which we live in.
Yeah.
The proper popular belief says there are some things that we have to do.
Right.
And this having to do quickly puts Christians under the load of the law. That they have to do something in order to please God.
Yes, sir.
And then this load gets on them. And then they have this mentality, this mindset. And if they don't do something, then they're failing God.
Right.
And then this becomes to orchestrate this large cycle of victory and failure, victory and failure. I want to say that's not the life that Christ come to die to give us.
Right.
He said He come to give life and life more abundant.
Amen. That's right.
He come to give us a life of victory.
Yes.
Something that would affect the world. Not just what I'm doing in life, But that my everyday lifestyle, whether I get up in the morning and I go down to the plant where I work, that the way that I live, the way that I go about my daily life can offer praise and worship to God that will affect some sinner along the way. And so here we see this being portrayed in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. To grateful God's ears, always tuned to our voice. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit in the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings.
Yes.
Give me direction. Give me a purpose to live. He said, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. Is that a blessing when the Lord puts a song in you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want you to watch this now. It says, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord.
Yes.
That's amazing to me.
Amen.
When I sing a song, you hear it.
Right.
When the ladies gathered together and sung about hope this morning, I heard the song.
Yes. Yeah.
But here the psalmist is saying that God has put such a song in him that many shall see it.
Amen.
And that they'll fear the Lord. And it even goes on and says that they'll trust in the Lord.
Right.
And that the song they're seeing will affect them in such a way that they too will trust in the Lord.
Right. Yes.
So now I'm looking here at this thought or theme of a lifestyle worship.
Amen.
That I'm walking every day in the truths and the promises that God's put down in His eternal Word.
Amen.
That I can rest in that and go forward for the glory of God.
Oh, yes.
I can wave by the tradition and live in the truth from God's Word.
Yes.
Knowing that my life will affect some sinner along the way.
Yes.
To the point there that it brings fear upon them.
Amen.
That to a point that it brings a even further leading into a place of trust.
Right.
So I'm grateful for that.
Yes.
Can I tell you a little story? I'm not much on stories and preaching, but I want to tell you this morning. I first came to Brazil several years ago. God led me there. I remember, just be transparent with you for a moment. I had this mindset And this understanding that I'm following God, and it's amazing. I said yesterday, at the same time God's working through you, He's working on you and He's working in you.
Right.
And so I've got this understanding now that in order for me to go to Brazil, that I have to go there to please God.
Right.
And so I've got this whole mentality, this whole mindset, that everything that I'm going to do down there, I have to do it in order to please God.
Yeah.
I've got this mindset that I have to look a certain way to please God. I've got a mindset that I've got to do things a certain way to please God. And I want to tell you today, that you at that time, Andrew Tompkin was a Christian so inbound to the law.
Right.
So bound down to the have-tos.
Yes.
And not enjoying the get-tos. And so I thank God that there is a liberating Christ.
Yes,
that wants you to be free and to enjoy Himself.
Yes.
And yes, resting in the truths of His eternal book.
Yes.
Now, when I first began to work with these Indians down in Brazil, they for the longest time, they called me Nahua.
Yes.
And it means stranger. I had this, and we see the same outlook in a lot of our independent Baptist circles. That folks, they come to the house of God and they're all just dressed just right. They know what to say. And they've got this air about them. When they see somebody else that just may perhaps walk in the house of God, they don't look just like they do. They don't dress just like they do. There's an immediate down looking on them. A judgmental look that you're not right with God. And then this air carries out into the community. When we see folks out in the community And we may see somebody at Walmart, and they may not be just like we are. There's this mentality that says, God, help them.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say that is such a pharisaical, legalistic view, opposite of what the Word of God teaches. Jesus was a friend of sinners. When He came, He come happy, He come rejoicing, He was bringing in the gospel, the kingdom. He was full of grace and truth. And the folks said, He's a wine bibber. He's a friend of sinners. And I want to say, I want to be associated with that crowd. Jesus had an air about Him.
Yes.
He to such a degree, He walked into the cursed city of Jerusalem.
Right.
It was a cursed city. They said it was cursed. Yes, both times He went in, He came out with a crowd of sinners.
So
there was something about His life. There was something about the way He walked, the way He smiled, about Himself that attracted sinners to Him.
Yes,
and I kind of say it wasn't the Pharisees of the day that had their standing and they couldn't touch. And, you know, they come out of praying with their prayer shawl that's tallied over them. And they had such an air about them, such a religious air about them, that sinners that were unclean with leprosy, for example, they had to cry out unclean. And they would cross the street on the opposite side so not to even touch them because they didn't want their idea of glory to leave them.
Amen.
And I want to say, oh, how far we've strayed from truth.
Right.
If we want to affect this world for the glory of God in our day, it'll have to be lived in and through this Word.
Amen.
It'll have to be lived in and through truths from the Word of God. I want to say that truth from this book a lot of times goes against popular belief. Goes against traditional preaching. And so I want to say that God has given us such a liberty to serve Him. Folks have used this term liberty and run wild with it. You can take the word liberty and you'll end up in a ditch somewhere. The liberty that God gives is not to go out and to fulfill the lust of your flesh and desireful sin. That's not the liberty of the Bible. The liberty of the Word of God is a liberty that empowers the believer and that gives them strength to walk out in this sinful world and to love on sinners and have such an effect that their life is worshiping God every day they live. Is that a blessing?
Hey,
for me this morning. So this lifestyle worship here is one that will affect people every day that you live.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing to me that Paul, the great man of God, said things in the Word of God by, you know, he talks about at one point about being all things to all men.
Yes, sir.
That at least at some point in their life that some might be saved.
Yeah.
He's willing to use the liberty to serve God, to worship God, so that he doesn't have a dirty feeling when he's around sinners.
Right.
But he's got a feeling where he can say, hey, man, I know a better way.
Yes, sir.
I know the way,
right,
the truth and the life.
Yes.
And so thank God for that spirit of liberty that Christ gives us.
Amen.
That's freedom from this load and this weight of trying to serve God under the law.
Yeah, right.
If we have, I said yesterday, if we have a mentality that we are indebted to Jesus, we'll quickly serve under the law.
Right.
We're not indebted to Christ.
That's right.
How can you be in debt to something that was given to you freely?
Right.
Salvation was a free gift.
Right.
And so, I'm not indebted to Christ, but as Paul said, I'm a debtor unto the Greeks, the barbarians, the Jews. That's who we're indebted to.
That's right.
And so this liberty and understanding truth about the sovereign God does not produce a slackness. The truth does not produce a lukewarmness. The truth in this book does not produce a laziness in the heart of a child of God. Saul of Tarsus became Paul of the New Testament, knew the truth in this book. He knew the grace truth. He knew the fact that God was sovereign. He knew that some great truths in this book. And what it produced in him, such as the desire to preach the Word of God, that he knew that God had chosen the method of preaching. That's all he wanted to do was preach. Preach, preach, preach. He wanted to go preach. He had such a burden for the Philippian believers, he was willing to stay out of heaven. Had such a burden for his own people, the Jewish, he was willing to go and be a curse to hell. And so here's a man with such a burden, but yet living in such liberty, that everywhere it goes, his life is affecting somebody around him. Just his life. Folks saw the Apostle Paul and said, "Man, I want to be near that fella. Just want to be near him. I just want to rub shoulders with him. I like the air. I like the glow about him." It's the song that's birthed down on the inside of him that's singing out to God every step of the way, thank God. Jay told us last night, and the man of God said that the birds sing praise to God every day. There's some neutronic pulsars in the heavens singing out to God even now as we speak. It sounds like a weed eater, like, wah, 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 wah. And they make this crazy sound. All we hear is just that one specific sound at one time. The whales sing to God. The creeks, as they run over the rocks, make a little sound to God. The birds, the bees, the crickets, everything in the creation makes some sort of sound of praise to God. When you put all those sounds together, it is a wonderful a harmony of worship to God. So the creation is worshiping God every day. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even now as we speak. The creation, whether it's thunder, whether it's the waves, all in harmony as God hears them all at one time, is giving God a very wonderful worship and harmony and praise to Himself. And then here we are.
Amen.
And He's allowed us the privilege to live a life in such a way that we can go through life skipping and smiling and saying, "Thank God I'm saved. I know it's real." No matter what comes in our way, we can get above the storm. We can look above from God's sovereign perspective, knowing that He's caused to happen to me, and worship God all the way through life. That's a wonderful thing to happen. That's a wonderful truth this morning. Now, or we can get under that load and try to please God. Can I just say, you can't please God. He's already pleased with His Son. He said it twice in the Word of God. There at the baptismal pool of Jordan, what did He say? "This is My Son, who I am well pleased." He said it again on Mount Transfiguration when He was glorified. "This is My Son, who I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." He's saying, "I'm pleased with what He's already done on the cross. So I can live and I can work and I can maneuver. I can worship every day of my life in what He's already done on the cross. Every day throughout my life. Without trying to put on some sort of a load." For me to try to improve on that, in other words, I'm saying to God, by my lifestyle, "Lord, God, Your Son wasn't good enough, so now I've got to step in and make things a little bit better." Can I just say, I know it's impossible to slap God in the face, but there's something that was close to it in the Word of God. It's these people that's got this mindset that I'm going to try to perform, I'm going to try to do, I'm going to try to please God. That is such a slap in the face of God. Simply by this understanding, by them not resting in the fact that God is pleased with Jesus, and how we can allow Jesus to take our life and say, "Lord, here I am. Lord, use me, have me, God. Give yourself to Him 100%. I keep going back to last night. I don't know. Go back again, thank God.
Amen.
Jesus took that coin. Remember that He was trying to pay the taxes there?
Yes, sir.
And He said, "Well, you know, who do we pay the tribute to?" And the Lord said, "Whose image and superscription hath it?" Talk about the coin. Look at the coin, they said, "Caesar's." And Jesus said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yes.
His image is right there on the coin.
Yes.
And I'm reminded of that scripture that we are being conformed into the image of Christ. The image of His dear Son. The image of Jesus.
Right.
So if you're born again this morning, the image of Christ is stamped on you.
Yes, sir.
So why not give unto Christ what's Christ?
Right.
Why not render unto Christ what's already His?
Amen.
You've been bought with a price. You've
right.
been paid for. You're not your own anymore. You're His.
Amen.
Can I tell you real quick that there's some dangers.
Amen.
And you trying to do it yourself.
Yes, sir.
Oh, please hear me today. Can we look here at a man in the book of Colossians? I'm just going to follow God this morning in this route. Paul here writes to the Colossian believers. Here's what he says. The last chapter 4, the last few verses. He always gives salutations and gives instructions there at the last of his epistles. Each one. And he says here, he says, verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. And Nymphas, the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Paul's here in verse 17, 16 to 17. Paul has written this Colossian epistle to the Colossian believers. And he says, cause this very same one also to be read to the church in Laodicea.
Amen.
And then he goes on down, and I kind of just say quickly, what a wonderful book, the book of Colossians, dealing with the Christian's position in Christ.
Yes.
The believer's position in God. That we're already seated, we're already there, we're already glorified. As far as God's concerned, I'm already there.
Yes.
And so that's a wonderful truth. It's
yes.
a resting truth. It's a truth that empowers me to go preach the gospel, to go and serve God.
Amen.
And go where He leads me. Here's what He says. He says, and say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord,
yes.
that thou fulfill it.
Amen.
Here's what He said. He's saying, He said there's two churches involved here. There's the Colossian church. There's the Laodicean church. Now, the only other thing we have concerning the Laodicean church is the Lord's epistle to it. And He's saying, you're lukewarm.
Right.
He's saying to them, look, you guys are in such a bad shape.
Right.
He said, but if you'll repent, He said, I'm right here knocking on the door. Wait for you to open up.
Right.
So there's still hope, thank God.
Amen.
Here's what He said. He said to Archibald, He said, take heed. And then He said on down, fulfill. Two words with a great distinction, but in the same verse of Scripture.
Yes.
It's amazing when I like often using the principle of first mention, the Word of God.
Yes.
I flip back and I find the word take heed. Now, you know, I want to see where it's first mentioned in the Word of God.
Yes.
It's first mentioned in the book of Genesis dealing with Laban and Jacob. There's Laban, there's Jacob. Jacob's on his journey. He's going back to the promised land. And Laban's hot on his trail. He's mad.
Right.
Put yourself in Laban's shoes for just a minute. Here's a man. Jacob's come to him. He's taken not only one, but two of his daughters. He's taken a whole bunch of his livestock.
Right.
He's left without saying goodbye. and Jacob's mad. Laban's upset. He's angry. And so Laban's hot after his trail. And God comes to Laban in a dream and says this, take heed that thou not say anything good nor bad to Jacob.
Right.
Got to ponder on that. And I said, God is telling Laban, don't say anything good to him. Don't say anything bad to him. The fellow that's done him wrong, in a sense. The fellow that's gone in, taking his daughters.
Right.
Gone in, taking his more than half his livestock away.
Yeah.
And left without saying goodbye. And God's saying, don't say nothing to him.
Amen.
You know why God was beginning to tell myself on this. God was saying to Laban, don't get upset. Don't get angry. Don't get flustered about what's going on in your life. He's saying, it's all part of my plan.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, just throw your hands up and let it be.
Yes.
That the sovereign God of heaven's got His hand working in the situation.
Yeah.
It was God's eternal design from before the foundation of the world that Jacob needed Leah, that he needed Rachel, that he needed his livestock, and that he was going to leave and go back to the land God gave him by the covenant of Abraham. And so all this was in God's predetermined design.
That's right.
And so he said, Laban, don't get upset over this. Just take heed. Let it be.
Right.
Oh, so we take that understanding now,
yes,
about God's sovereignty, and put it over here and just hold that for a minute. And then he says here in verse 17, the last part, he says to fulfill it.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool. I thought, well, I'll check out the word fulfill, where it's first mentioned at. You know, it's mentioned, and this ain't a coincidence, it's mentioned the same story in Genesis dealing with Laban and Jacob. And so here we find that Jacob has worked 7 years. And he has got his heart's desire on Rachel. Man, she's beautiful. She's well favored. Oh, I mean, his heartbeat. It said, the Word of God said that those 7 years of labor passed so quickly.
Yeah.
Just because his love for Rachel.
Yes, sir.
And when he gets in the tent on wedding day, pulls back the veil, he sees Leah.
Right.
The fair-eyed one. He walks up to Laban and says, man, you beguiled me. You tricked me, buddy. This ain't the one I've been working for. And Laban says, fulfill her week. And then I'll give you Rachel, the one you love. So here's something that he don't want. Here's one that his heart's really not in love with. Here's one that his heart's not really beating for. And he's being told to fulfill her week.
Right.
So we take this understanding now, we put it back in the equation here to our good friend of Archippus, where the man of God has said, Archippus, take heed. In other words, throw your hands up. Just accept it as being God's sovereign will for your life.
Amen.
Take heed to what? The ministry that you've received in the Lord.
Yes.
Then he goes on and says, that thou fulfill it. He said, hey, just look at it as God's sovereign plan for your life. Though you may not love it, though you may not want to do it, just go ahead and accept it and fulfill it as God's sovereign plan for your life.
Yeah, thank God. Amen.
Can I say that when Jacob fulfilled Leah, the times he had with Leah, can I just say, what a blessing. Reuben came from Leah.
Sure.
Levi came from Leah. Simeon came from Leah. Issachar, Zebulun, Judah.
Yes.
Come from Leah.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing that God will bring forth the line of the tribe of Judah?
Yes.
Through something that was unwanted.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
That helps me to know that I can go out in this world somewhere.
Yeah.
And there are folks living in this community in Salisbury, North Carolina. There are folks out here that they've come home last night, and their father has cussed them. They've their father's beat their mama, and they're trying to find some answer.
Yes, sir.
They've probably got their lip pierced,
right.
Probably got a tattoo showing somewhere,
yeah.
Probably got their hair all painted a funny color, and there they are at Walmart trying to cashier to make some kind of a money,
yes,
to provide food to their little brother.
Yeah.
And the saint of God will walk by and go, God help.
Oh,
that ain't what Christ come to give us.
Amen.
That's not what Christ come to work through us for.
Amen.
He come that we might affect sinners.
Amen.
We can just lay aside all the tradition and all the world. I mean, who cares? Just lay it aside and love God and serve God and be filled with the truth of the Word of God and affect sinners for His honor and glory, thank God. Wave goodbye to it all and let God fill and affect your life. Your life can worship God every day. No matter what's in your life, what's going on around you, the circumstances, the difficulties, God can work through you to affect sinners, thank God. So what do you say? I'm saying take heed and fulfill the ministry you've been received in Christ. The ministry that every one of us has been received in Christ will affect the world. I'm wondering about the ministry here that specifically this man received, Archippus. Paul writes about him in another place. You know what he says? Jay sat over in Philemon. He said, he's writing a letter and he says to my fellow soldier, Archippus. The Apostle Paul would write to a man and said, you're my fellow soldier.
Amen.
If you're a fellow soldier to somebody, it looks like you've got the same captain.
Amen.
We're on the same side.
Yes, right.
It looks like that if we're a fellow soldier, we got the same enemy.
Amen.
That's right.
You're not my enemy.
Amen.
We're on the same side.
That's right.
Thank God we're in this battle together. We can link arms together and go forward and allow God to use us to advance the kingdom for His honor and glory. And so it looks like that if we're a fellow soldier, that our captain's the same, the enemy's the same, and the outlook is the same. Let's advance the front line. Let's go advance it some more. Let's watch God get glory to Himself by saving a sinner one more time.
Amen.
And so here's this man that Paul called a fellow soldier.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And Paul's at a place where he's saying, take heed, young man.
That's good. Yeah, thank you.
Take heed.
Amen.
It looks like possibly, I don't know, I don't like speculating things in the Word of God, but this young man, this fellow was a layman of some sort at the church of Laodicea. I don't know what went on in his life.
Right.
But it looks like to me that he didn't take heed.
Right.
It looks like to me that there was a resistance to truth.
Right.
To the point that the whole entire Laodicean church got to a place where they're lukewarm.
Yes, sir.
Got to a place where they don't have power with God. Got to a place where they're not even moldable enough for God to use them. God help.
Yes.
But I thank God there in the Laodicean, the Lord says, if you'll just repent,
right. Amen.
I'm right outside.
That's right.
Now I can step back and get way above that and look and see that sure God had to have allowed that for the Laodiceans to be the way they was.
Yes, sir.
So some of us might get help this morning.
Yes, sir.
Knowing that there'd be some folks that's lukewarm.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Knowing that there'd be some folk that needn't hear the hope that God can give us, saying, I'm just outside the door.
Amen.
He said, I'll come in and sup with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
He said, you sup with me.
Amen.
Amen.
Sounds to me like he wants it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
that's what he wants.
Yeah.
See, he gives such a price for your life. He wants your life.
That's right.
That's it.
Then that's all there is to it.
Yes, sir.
He don't want me and all my baggage. But, I mean, he'll take me that way because he'll strip away the baggage.
Amen.
All he wants is your life.
Yes,
that's
sir.
It.
That's right.
He don't want me trying to perform, trying to show God what I can do,
no.
trying to show God who I am, trying to be someone that I'm not.
Right.
He don't want that.
Oh, sir.
He don't want me trying to model myself after somebody else. Even though I thank God for heroes of the faith. I thank God for men of God that's part it down life's way. But God made me.
Right.
The Creator God has put DNA inside of you to make you you.
Right.
Everything about you.
That's right.
That's what He wants to use.
Yeah.
Your personality,
amen.
Your smiles, your laughter, your cutting up.
Yeah.
Whatever. God wants to use that
sure.
for His honor and glory.
Right.
I mean, if not, we'd all be robots. We'd just kind of pop in.
Yeah.
Hey, brother. You know, I mean, it's just be to go through these motions.
It's true.
Yeah.
This world that we're living in is hurting, suffering. They're wanting to see something.
Yes.
That's why they go there every which. They're trying to find an answer, trying to find some sort of a... We'll be good if they could just see something in us.
That's right.
The song then on the inside, that's just singing harmony with the world.
Yes, right.
Harmony with creation under God.
Yes.
Worship every day. I'm grateful. God's been so kind to us and God's been so good to allow us to rest in His truth and His grace and His Word.
Amen.
Man. Oh, yes.
Yes,
I'll just say this: there in Brazil, there's some other folks down there under the name of religion.
Mm.
You know, Baptist religion, if you want to call it that.
Right.
And I've never been so heartbroken and humble at the same time, if y'all know what I'm saying. But at 8, I was sitting in my walker fixing to leave, giving one of my last messages, my last visits there with them. And I'm talking to sinners at this point that don't know God. Walked up to me and to the point of weeping, saying, "We don't want you to go."
Yes, sir.
Same people that would call me stranger months back call me older brother who cheated. And it's nothing that Brother Andrew done. I want you to understand that. It wasn't I was doing anything. It was just me resting in Christ.
Amen.
And letting Him do it through me.
That's right.
Letting that song He put in there sing.
Amen.
And just simple things that you wouldn't even think. I mean, just stuff that God done. God touched their heart. God was working on them. God just helping them. God just showing them things. And then to hear them say things like this. You know, so-and-so's been here for years and he's never even done... I mean, just trying to make comparisons, trying to figure out in their mind. You know, I'm telling y'all, there's nothing like this way.
That's right, preacher.
To know that I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not here to try to boast in anything but Jesus Christ and the cross. Man, we can live our life in such a way every day and just say, "Lord... It is life of faith. It's not glory coming down every minute. I can tell you that right now. It's not for me. But there are some days like this morning, God brushes by, encourages you, helps you in the faith. But it's every day knowing truth. Knowing I feel the way that I do today because God allowed it. Can I just, I know it's kind of different this morning, but let me just kind of drop her down in low gear a minute here. How many of you ever got up in the morning and just felt like, man, it's just one of those days where I feel like my heart's being attacked. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
It's kind of an anxiety kind of feeling like thing. And you're like, "Lord, you know, first thing I, what most folks do is, Lord, what do I do? Lord, forgive me. Did I mess up somewhere? God, please take away sin." David did the same thing. And after a while, you realize it's just God allowing you to partake in the sufferings of His Son.
Amen.
Now that's helped me. To think that a holy God would have choose on that particular day to allow me to experience what His Son experienced.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And that's a loving Father.
It is.
That's a loving God that wants to help me, that wants to grow me.
Amen, preacher.
And I say thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Man.
Amazing.
Times I've been down in the field, that I've not, you know, felt like running and jumping from cloud to cloud.
Right.
Y'all know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, I remember saying one time, I said, "Lord," I said, "I don't want to ever get to the place where, you know, I paint myself in such a way that folks think I'm not real.
Right.
And I'm just a sinner that God saves.
Right.
And I struggle. And I go through things. And I feel things in my heart that I don't understand. And I don't know what it's all about.
Amen.
But I know that I can trust God.
Amen.
And I can walk on by faith. And I can thank God for His sovereign look. And I can thank God for His love on me.
Right.
And after a while, when I start pondering those things, man, it just kind of, I don't know, something just kind of happens, you know, and you just kind of start smiling. And you just realize everything is going to be okay.
Yes.
And I can walk through any, you know, those truths. A child of God can walk through anything.
Yes, sir.
And smile and let that song.
Thank God.
Many shall see it in fear.
That's right.
And trust in the Lord. Let's all stand this morning.